remember to subscribe and share. This podcast contains adult themes of a sexual nature. Author Liam Williams has a lot to celebrate. His podcast series, Gay Erotica, has had over 1 million downloads. He's just released his first ever novel, Naughty 40, and is joining me today to co-host this podcast on erotic fiction. Liam Williams, welcome to Noel Anderson's 15 Minutes of Fame.
Thank you. It's exciting to be here. This is my first podcast interview.
Oh, wow. That's incredible.
As the subject. I've been the interviewer, but not the interviewee.
Well, I tell you, I hope I do a really good job of this because anything is possible with me asking questions. Now, of course, we're going to talk about erotica. And it did occur to me as I sat here this morning that for me, erotica is something I usually talk about. I don't talk about it. I usually get into late at night. Is erotica normally a nighttime thing?
I think a lot depends on the person. You know, like a lot of people, that kind of activity that you might associate with erotica is a late night in bed activity. But the more that I speak to people about both the content and the activity, the more I'm realizing that people are really just getting into it whenever they can. You know, people are taking the opportunities to enjoy themselves when they can with whatever kind of content takes their fancy.
Well, it's funny you should say that because I read a couple of comments on your erotica that you podcast, and I just want to read a few of these comments to you and just get your impression of them after I read them. So here's a couple of the comments. Just discovered your podcast and I enjoy your sexy voice and I'm imagining what you look like. What did you think of that?
Yeah, I find those ones really interesting. I definitely fall into the category of people, despite the amount of podcasting that I've done, I fall into the category of people who isn't a huge fan of their voice when it's recorded. And so I don't find my own voice particularly sexy. Most of my audience is American, so I think the Australian accent carries a lot of weight in terms of the appeal. And the imagining what I look like thing as well, one of the things I like about podcasting is I don't have to put myself out there visually, but I do like that imagining. And I think that's one of the things that I really like about erotica and the written word is that imagination thing. And I think that's what really appeals to people a lot about either listening to the podcast or reading the stories is that they can fill the gaps themselves with their own fantasies and their own ideas. And I think that's what, from a lot of the readers that I've spoken to, why a lot of them like reading porn rather than watching it.
Now, just on that, because you brought porn up, there is a difference between porn and erotica, isn't there? I mean, erotica to me is, when I'm thinking of old-fashioned erotica, I'm thinking of titles like Lady Chatterley's Lover, The Joy of Sex, Lolita. But of course, that's not the kind of erotica that you're doing on your podcast, is it? And what's the difference between porn and erotica?
I think the more people write and the more books that are published, and since self-publishing has grown so much and Amazon has done everything that it's done for writing and publishing, I think there are more and more subgenres within stuff. You know, something like those kind of older titles of erotica that you mentioned might fall more now into erotic romance, which I think is a subgenre that is a romance book that includes the graphic stuff and the actual action, which, you know, your Mills and Boone type stuff, they allude to a lot of the actual action. But for the podcast, my short stories are basically sex scenes without a lot of the story side of things. So I think that's closer to porn in that I kind of see porn and pornography more as for the purpose of arousal. But I think in erotica more broadly, it's a story without the graphic stuff removed.
Why do you think there's not so many women creating erotic literature?
I actually think there is. A lot of what I read, I think, is written by women under gender neutral-ish pen names. So there might be just two initials and a last name. I think a lot of women write gay erotica. I have heard that through various erotica circles and self-publishing spaces and a bit on Twitter. But I also pick up on bits and pieces here and there and kind of read it and go, this person's actually never had a penis. I think there is a bit of women, female erotica out there, which is interesting to read and interesting to think about the appeal for those writers writing in that genre. genre.
I read in your bio, you didn't start out writing erotica and performing it like you do on your podcast. You started out writing different genres. What were those other genres? And do they come into your podcasts at all?
The first kind of writing I did was in high school. My friend and I fell in love with Monty Python in the middle of high school, and then decided that we were going to be the next Monty Python and wrote some of the most absurd sketches you would ever read. And thankfully or not, those sketches have been lost to time. That was kind of where I started with the writing thing. Through, I guess, my 20s was a little bit of short stories of just random whatever kind of popped into my head. So I didn't put myself into a genre then. Yeah, so I've written, you know, a couple little funny things here and there, a couple of thriller things, a radio serial, a comedy stage play. Really, I'd written bits and pieces for a long time until I niched myself into erotica. And those things don't really come into the Liam Williams side of things. I think a little bit of the humor comes through in some of the stories, but under the pen name of Liam Williams, I haven't written anything really other than erotica. But outside of that, I'm starting to kind of broaden. I'm working on a thriller novel under a different name and a kind of sci-fi comedy stage play idea. It's kind of percolating in the back of my mind.
Now, of course, two big things have just happened in your life. You've turned 40 and you've just also had 1 million downloads of your erotica podcast.
So I'm very close to turning 40, not quite 40 yet.
Oh, you're not 40?
No, not quite yet. But the character in the novel that I just released has just turned 40.
And your novel's called Naughty 40. And I did listen to it because you put some of it out on a podcast. And one of the questions I started to ask myself listening to it was, are you Tom in that podcast? How much is Tom and how much isn't?
Is me.
Yes. You know what I'm
saying. So, yeah, I think that there's a lot of me in Tom. A lot of the stories that I write are either based on actual personal experiences that I've had or fantasized versions of those experiences. And so as I'm approaching 40, I have quite a few similar feelings to Tom in terms of aging and the concept and the external judgment of age. So I kind of treaded the line a little bit. In editing it, I took a few things out that were a little bit too me. I think the parts that I've taken and put in the novel are common things for gay men of a certain age. And certainly from some readers, I've heard that they see a lot of themselves in Tom as well. You know, a couple of guys who are in their 40s, you know, got in touch and said, you know, I see a lot of myself in Tom. I went through that kind of same thing when I turned 40, but then got through it in a bit of a way that Tom does in the novel without spoiling too much. Yeah, so there's a bit of myself in there, but I deliberately did that, but also deliberately went by other fairly common experiences of gay men around that age.
One of the things in that story that I listened to that kind of intrigued me was you had a best friend who was straight, but people thought he was gay, and you used to use him to go to gay bars to pick men up, and you both called it divide and conquer. And so I'm assuming the straight guy would pick up the odd girl that was at a gay bar, and the character of Tom would pick up the gay men after the straight guy had rejected them. Is that a true story? Did you have a straight friend?
I do. Most of my friends are straight. That's one thing in the novel. Most of Tom's friends are straight as well. And that's not particularly a true story. That is something, you know, my friend and I would go out to gay bars. We would both kind of flirt with everyone and just see what happens. Yeah, there were a few reasonably successful nights.
I think there's a podcast in that called Divide and Conquer. So I think you should definitely start to do that. When you think about doing a new podcast, how do you get yourself into the mood? I guess you're trying to get yourself into a sexy, sensual mood. Is there a process to sort of take you there that you might use?
There's not particularly anything. Like, I don't have a pre-show routine. I have quite a few, you know, without sounding too kind of multiple personalities about it, I have quite a few different things and different interests in my life. So kind of a day job, writing stuff under a different pen name, writing the erotica, playing sport, playing music, as well as just generally socializing. And so I think part of having those varied interests, I've developed the ability to switch between them and kind of switch on when I need to be in that kind of vein. So the studio that I'm in now, I record both of the podcasts under the Lee and Williams name, and then I have two podcasts under my own name as well. And I just sit down, and if I open up a Lee and Williams story in front of me, then I can just go, all right, this is a erotic story. My voice changes a little bit in the reading of it, and then I'm into it. That's also developed over, you know, it's been 3 years that I've been doing the podcast now, so I can pretty easily switch into something that I've done so often.
You know, what I found was interesting about, as I listened to a couple of the podcasts and was getting very excited while I was listening, I should add. So
that's a good review then. Thank you.
People should definitely come and listen to your podcast. But one of the things that I found really curious was that you don't attempt to act that much in it. You put a little bit of an emphasis here and there, but you pretty much read the stories without putting a lot of acting into it. I would find that very hard. I would want to act those stories out, but for some reason it has an almost hypnotic quality, and I really enjoyed the simplicity of how it was being presented. Was that deliberate? Did you think about that before you started recording? Are these sexy tales?
I didn't think too much about it, to be honest. I very quickly started the podcast. In 2021, I was looking for a podcast of erotica to listen to and didn't find any that really worked for me. And I'd had some stories up online and people had given them good reviews, so I thought I'll just start it myself. So I just jumped into it. I'm not an actor in terms of creativity. I'm certainly, you know, off stage or behind the camera. I'm not going to be, you know, someone that's in front acting and performing. So I just backed the words that I'd written and the story themselves to do the work for me, essentially. And not being an actor early on, I didn't, you know, have much of the experience of acting out stories. So I just read them, trying to read them in a sexy way. And that worked early on. So it's just something that I've continued.
I might just go back to another comment by one of your listeners. I'm loving your podcast. Sat here on the train in the UK and I'm rock hard.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I like that. I actually wrote a story based on that review, and that listener contacted me on Instagram to tell me about it as well. So I actually wrote a story inspired by that person's train journey, which is on the podcast as well. So yeah, I'm not one for anything kind of publicly indecent, but I do kind of like the idea of people being able to surreptitiously enjoy themselves or be aroused. And I think that's one of the things about a podcast, is that you can just have your AirPods in on the train and no one knows what you're listening to. And so you're subtly but quite naughtily enjoying yourself.
When I was listening to one of the stories, which is called Storage Locker Secret, there was a safe sex message in that story. Do you feel responsible when writing erotic literature, particularly gay erotic literature, to go down that line of safe sex, or do you sometimes abandon that line of safe sex?
I like to put it in as much as I can. I do very much believe in safe sex. While I believe in, you know, people making their own choices and people doing what they want to do sexually, I still very much believe in the importance of safety and protection wherever you can. And so I try to make sure that is always in there somewhere within the story, whether or not that's someone putting a condom on, or whether or not that's someone having a conversation about their HIV status, you know, whether they're on PrEP, the preventative STI drugs and stuff like that. The other side of that is I don't want to get preachy about it, but I think, and we're seeing it more and more in visual porn as well, a lot of porn videos will have a disclaimer saying that, you know, these people have been tested before they started the shoot, or, you know, more and more studios using condoms as well. I think we still need to have that message out there about safe sex. Yes, there's a lot of treatments and a lot of preventative measures, but if people aren't using them properly, then, you know, there's still, you know, a lot of HIV around and a lot of chlamydia and gonorrhea really in the gay community in Melbourne. You know, there's a lot of talk everywhere about that still on the increase. It's something that I work to do, is to put it in there so that it doesn't take away from the sexiness, but it is in there that the characters in my story are at least thinking about it.
Say someone came to you and they said, I'm going to give you $1 million right now, but you need to write a story that is morally against what you believe in. Would you do it?
Oh, $1 million is a lot of money.
Well, you've got a million downloads, $1 million.
That's true. I don't think that I would.
Why not?
But I think it would depend on, like which of my morals it clashes with. So, you know, there's different areas. If we're going to talk about the STI thing, you know, there's the people that, you know, deliberately go out there and try to infect other people. There's non-consent, there's age limits, there's all sorts of things. I think a bit of it would depend on the context of the story and where it was going to sit. But it's kind of a debate with erotic fiction is that it is fantasy. And so I think that's something that I'd probably consider as well. Is the story something that is encouraging people to do the amoral thing? Or is the story there to be able to give people the chance to enjoy their fantasy safely?
Who would be your ultimate fantasy to have sex with?
Oh, okay. I don't know if I've thought too much about that. Actually, I just went to see Dune 2 last week, so Timothy Chalamet is pretty high up on the list for me at the moment.
You looked a bit stunned by that question, I must admit.
Yeah, no, I knew this interview could go anywhere. Yeah, I think Timothy Chalamet would be right up there in terms of celebrity crushes at the moment.
Just in terms of talking about, because you're sounding very responsible in what you're putting out there, what do you think of censorship overall? Should artists be able to say what they want, do what they want, and represent what they want? Or should there be a form of censorship to make sure that, you know, people like me, innocent old me, isn't corrupted?
I think I prefer education over censorship. You know, there's a bit of talk at the moment in quite a few states in America, Pornhub is becoming banned. They're putting laws in place that have a higher expectation on age verification for sites like Pornhub. And so Pornhub are saying, well, it's actually too hard for us to verify people's ages, and there's a whole lot of privacy boxes that we need to tick, so we're just not going to be in Texas, for example. While I do certainly believe that people should be able to access what they want to access, I don't like that being taken out of a person's hands and being controlled by someone else. But there are a lot of people that probably are accessing porn when they shouldn't be. So I think that's a fine line to tread. And I think the point of those age verification things is so that minors aren't looking at porn. And, you know, that can be a debate for a whole nother podcast, whether or not they should be. But I think the more we educate people around porn and around its use and around its effects, the more people are able to make informed decisions. And like my podcast and my stories and my novel are very clearly marked as adult gay content. And so if someone as innocent as yourself, Noel, did stumble onto my website, there would be a couple of things in the way before you suddenly, you know, read about someone bending someone over in a hotel room.
Now, I'm just thinking as we're talking, and because you're turning 40, I was thinking to myself, when is it too old to write erotica?
I don't think it is. I don't think there's a too old for anything, really. Through the two podcasts that I do with Liam Williams, I've chatted to people everywhere from 18, 19 to into their 60s that are enjoying the erotica and enjoying themselves sexually. And I'm sure there are people even older than the people that I've talked to that are still enjoying it. So I don't think there is an age limit on it. I think there's not an age limit on writing anything. There's probably a too young to write erotica, but I don't think there's a too old.
I'm just going to read another comment on your podcast.
Sure.
Here we go. Congratulations. It's a hot, hot, hot story. Your reaction?
Yeah, I enjoy that. I don't mind hearing that I've written good things, partly because I like to know that I'm doing something well. I think, you know, anybody that says they're putting something out there and doesn't want a good review is kidding themselves, or it's, you know, some kind of false humility. I do like hearing that people think my stories are good, partly as a self-affirming thing, but also because then I know people are enjoying them, which is kind of why I'm putting them out there in the first place.
What's the title of the episode that you're the most proud of? And in a couple of lines, just tell us the story.
I think the one that I'm probably the most proud of in terms of podcast episodes, it's one I wrote early. It's the highest downloaded one on the podcast stream. It's called Boys Bonding Upgraded. And the title is probably not amazing. It's about a guy who's got a group of friends that he's been friends with for a long time. They have a weekend away together, one gay guy and four straight friends. And then they end up crossing the line and having a bit of extra fun together. That's kind of the proudest one because it's one that I wrote early. that people are really getting into. And, you know, any writers out there will probably say that their early stories aren't nearly as good as their later ones. But I think that the fact that it's still going strong and still highly downloaded and listened to says that I'm on the right track. But also that's the one that gave me the hint that people liked it and I could probably actually be a writer.
What ingredient do you think you need to write a good podcast episode or even just to write a good erotic story?
I think you have to be very good at describing the action, but I think it's a balance between action and character. And I think from what I've read of erotica and what I've written myself and the reviews that I've gotten, character depth is something that I think I do well. And I think that's something that makes the stories hotter. I know often, you know, the joke is when we watch visual porn is that we skip over all the story bit at the start just to get to the action. But I think, you know, if you take a 2,000 word story, I think probably, you know, the first 1,200 words of my story is character building.
I'm going to interrupt you for a quick moment. I listened to your podcast and it got me thinking, what's the ingredients for those podcasts? I came up with honesty, humor, and sadness. And even in Storage Locker Secret, there was an element of sadness at the start of the podcast. Under all that titillation, there needs to be something very truthful, cementing the reader into the story.
Yeah, I think so. I think when we read stuff, we need to have a good understanding of the character that we're reading about. We don't necessarily need that in the visual porn because it's all there in front of us visually. We need a good understanding of the character that we're in. And I think the sadness element that you found in, you know, Storage Lockers is a bit of lack of fulfillment, which I then think makes the sex more satisfying because it's not only physically gratifying, but it's also fulfilling, you know, what the character told us was missing towards the start of the story. So I think that honesty and that depth of character adds a lot to the satisfaction of the sex as well.
Is that particular episode based on a true story that happened to you?
It's loosely based on something that happened to a friend.
So the moral to the story is don't befriend you. Their stories are going to end up in a podcast online.
Yep. I'll change the names, obviously, protect the not so innocent. But, you know, I'm writing 3 short stories a month as well as writing my novels. So I take inspiration wherever I can get it.
Well, I think we're coming just about to the end of the podcast. Tell everyone about your novel that's out and where they can listen to your erotic tales.
Yeah, so the best place to start is liamwilliams.com.au. That will direct you to the novel, which is Naughty 40. It's not on Amazon or Audible yet, but it's out on most ebook and audiobook retailers, as well as available directly from me on my website to go, liamwilliams.com.au. That will also get you the links to the Gay Erotica podcast. Yeah, or if you want to go into your podcast app and just search for Gay Erotica by Liam Williams, then it's in pretty much every podcast app as well.
It's come to the time of the podcast where I have only one thing left to say. Do you know what that is?
No.
It's Liam Williams. This has been your 15 minutes of fame.
Thank you. As soon as I said no, I'm like, oh no, this is his outro. I know what he's going to say now.
If you enjoyed this podcast, Noel Anderson's 15 Minutes of Fame, remember to subscribe and share.